We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses, people that were once in your shoes. Our TSBC alumni, speakers, and friends will shed light on growth strategies, resources, and inspiration to help you scale your creative business. Hi, friends. I'm Katie Hunt, the founder of Trade Show Bootcamp, and welcome to Proof to Product. Today, I sat down with Ronnie Williams of DeFrance Printing, which is a full-service commercial print shop located in Southern California. Ronnie grew up in the print industry and is the third generation to own and operate DeFrance. His grandfather began printing in the late 1930s, followed by his father in the early 1970s, and Ronnie was a fixture in the print shop by the young age of five. Ronnie's background brings a unique perspective in that he has expertise in both the print process as well as the outcome. This episode is a little bit different than most in that we're diving into some of the technical aspects of printing, common mistakes that people make in file setup, ways to save money on your print runs, and how DeFrance helps a wide range of industries with packaging, catalogs, marketing materials, and more. Ronnie and the team at DeFrance have recently expanded their fulfillment services, helping independent brands with not only printing, but also storage, fulfillment, and distribution of their products. And they have particular expertise handling orders for big box stores such as Paper Source. Ronnie and the team at DeFrance have been strong supporters of our Trade Show Bootcamp community and advocates for education around the print process. So I'm really excited for you to hear from Ronnie today and introduce this gem of a resource to you.
Hey, Ronnie, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm really excited to have you on the show today for a number of reasons. But one, I've known you for several years now, and you have been such a huge advocate and support system for our Trade Show Bootcamp alumni community. And so to have you on today to share your wisdom with running a print shop and how we can better utilize, you know, service providers like yourself, I'm just really excited for everyone to hear your take on all this. So thank you.
Well, we're happy to be here. And I hope we can provide some people some information where they can get better at what they're doing and have their production partners help them too, whether it's us or someone else.
Love that about you. All right. So let's start at the beginning. How long has your family owned DeFrance Printing?
I don't know the exact year I could find out, but it's in the 60s, the 1960s. Wow. This is our 125th year in business. 1893, the company was founded. And my grandfather worked for Ralph DeFrance for a few years and then purchased the company from him.
Wow.
So since that time, it was my grandfather, my dad, and now my brother and myself.
That's amazing. So you grew up in this family business. Did you ever have an option to leave, or did you, or were you always excited about having a career in printing?
Well, it was the opposite. I always wanted to be here, and my dad was trying to chase me away the whole time. So he said, go do something else. Don't become a printer. But I grew up there since I was five, dumping trash, watching the equipment run, hearing those noises and the smell of paper and ink. And I loved it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I loved it.
I grew up in a family of attorneys.
Okay.
Believe it or not, and worked at the law firm during the summers and even worked at law firms doing business development for them after college.
And that's cool.
And now it feels like a total, you know, what I'm doing now is what I did for attorneys, but it's just such a different environment too. So
that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. So, okay. DeFrance is a full service commercial printer and you guys handle a wide range of jobs. Can you tell us who are your core clients and what types of work do you do for them? What kind of jobs?
Absolutely. So the focus here is we're talking about today, wholesale stationery companies. So we do a lot of greeting cards, journals, notebooks, notepads, different types of tags, hang tags, clothing tags. We also do marketing side. So we do catalogs, postcards, direct mail pieces, regular mailers, self-mailers, lots of different projects like that, as well as some specialty stuff with vinyl and stickers and things like that.
Yeah.
The rest of our clients include breweries, corporate clients, as well as some associations and unions.
Very cool. And talk about the different print methods that you offer, because you guys are not just a straight up letterpress shop or digital shop. You kind of do it all.
We do a lot. So we do everything from letterpress. That's how the company started. We do offset printing. We do digital printing, variable data. We do foil stamping, embossing, die cutting. We do some lamination and coatings. And we do, as I mentioned before, the direct mail. So ink jetting, variable data, and different services like that.
Yeah. So for those that aren't familiar with the term variable data, mm-hmm. what Ronnie's talking about there is if you wanted to do like a mass mailing to a huge mailing list of, you know, thousands of people, they could print the addresses from your contacts onto that postcard or onto the outside of an envelope. Do you ever do smaller jobs for like wedding clients, for example, that need envelopes run there?
No, absolutely. Yeah. So we can, everything from what we call basic addressing. So name, address, zip code, all the way up to the piece internally can be personalized. So it can mm-hmm. have every single piece and component change on every print piece. So oh, wow. not just the data.
So it could be like Dear Ronnie.
Yes,
blah, blah, blah.
Dear Ronnie, we've done stuff for nonprofits where the donation amounts, the name, and years donating all varies on every piece on thousands of pieces. So it can wow. change all the time. Yeah,
that's cool. You also do fulfillment
yes.
for people. Explain what fulfillment is, and then let's explain how that all works yeah. too.
Well, fulfillment can have various meanings, and we have a few options here. But for us, what it means is basically taking the printed product that we've printed and packaging it in some way or another and either fulfilling it as one group, so like to a paper source or to another big retailer, or fulfilling it out in segments as you need it daily or weekly. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of what we're doing with fulfillment is in the bulk orders, not typically retail orders.
What kind of volume would somebody need to print for you to be able to start a fulfillment plan with them?
So if it's just a one-off, so you have a 500 or 1,000 piece order to paper source or to, again, another a large retailer, that's plenty. If you're mm-hmm. if you're wanting us to do weekly or daily shipments, it needs to typically be 5,000 pieces or more. Now, it doesn't have to be greeting cards. It can be 5,000 pieces of anything, including stuff that's not printed, you know, candles mm-hmm. or you know, bags or whatever it may be, but 5,000 items that are shipping.
Okay. So let me just break this down a little bit further.
Yeah.
They would need to purchase 5,000 items of whatever it is that you're helping to create.
Yes.
And you would then store that
yes.
in your warehouse. You would also help with the packaging of it. So if it was a greeting card, you would help sleeve it. And
absolutely.
Whatever else
UPC barcode it, all those things. Yeah.
And then you would have a section in your warehouse where it was just, let's say, my stuff
yes.
sitting there ready to roll. And if I had enough of a volume, you would then pack and pull it as orders came in. So maybe I ship twice a week.
Yep.
And so every Thursday, you guys would, any orders that were coming in on my retail side or my wholesale side.
Absolutely.
You would pack up and send out to my customers. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we'd have a Katie aisle and it would have all the greeting cards and notebooks and whatever else you had. And so we would get either via email, Shopify, you know, even Excel grids sometimes. Mm-hmm. It comes in daily, weekly, monthly, whatever the shipments are. And we then take it, collect it, and ship it out within the predetermined time frame.
Wow.
Yeah. And normally on those cases, it's we may have tens of thousands of items in stock, not necessarily that they ordered the 5,000 and we fulfilled it all.
Right.
You know, that may be the way it's set up.
Gotcha. I think this sounds really intriguing for a lot of reasons. Like I know my audience, they struggle with wearing so many hats in their business, right? Like yeah. they're being creative and designing their work. They're having to find their manufacturing partners. They're having to hold inventory sometimes in their homes. You know, a lot of them are working out of their homes.
In their garage or their closet.
Exactly.
Yeah,
their dining room table.
Yeah.
You know, that's how my business grew up.
Yep.
And so to think that, okay, I've got this partner that can not only store things, but they can print them and ship them out for me and kind of help with that arm of it. It sounds like a huge relief. I'm sure the pricing is different for every deal and every yeah. person based on volume and how much space that you would need to store things. But do you have a ballpark of where that would start for people?
Well, I mean, if it's just sleeving and then that part, it can range from 14 to 20 cents a piece if it's a greeting card. Some products
okay.
are different. If we're doing the whole thing where we're warehousing and pulling, and let's say it's a paper source order, there is an extra fee there for that. I think it's $25 per order in
Easy.
Addition to get ready for the paperwork. Because paper source, you know, they do require
yeah.
that. I keep mentioning them, but they're one of the ones
well,
that has
I do
more
want to talk about
detail
that
to it.
In more depth in a minute, but carry
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's fine. And so, yeah, basically it's 14 cents a piece to the high teens for the fulfillment. And that would be folding, sleeving, various if it's an open sleeve or a sealed sleeve. If you want
right.
a sticker, a lot of people put stickers on the outside along with the UPC as like a little branded or marketing piece. So it can vary per touch basically of each item we have to touch.
And that's common. Yeah. For those of you guys listening, you know, I've talked with other fulfillment houses, and for each step in the process, there's going to be an additional fee for that. And it makes sense, right? Like, it's time that these people are taking to package your products and box things up. If you're adding more inserts to your boxes, yep, or stickers on the outside of your boxes, you know, that will add to the cost as well.
Typically catalogs, postcards, business cards, things like that put in with the box, thank you notes, things like that. We can either take stock that you've had printed somewhere else. We would obviously prefer to print it. We can then print it and put it in there for you. So, cool. You know, catalogs are very common, but other items too.
Awesome. That sounds really great. And I feel like that could be a huge weight lifted off of these designers and makers' plates, really. Okay, we've talked about Paper Source, and Paper Source has some very specific rules and regulations as to how things need to be shipped. They've got requirements, right? Like, things need to be boxed a certain way, shipped in a certain timeline, hit, you know, arrive in a certain window.
Yep.
You guys have done a really great job of servicing. If I were selling to Paper Source for the first time, you're offering a very unique service in that most of the time when people get that order from Paper Source, they don't have enough inventory to even fill that order that Paper Source needs.
Absolutely.
And something you guys identified and took action on, which I thought was cool, is this whole idea of, we will help print and package and ship and get your Paper Source order to them on time and in the way that they require in a very streamlined way. So I'm not explaining this very well, but talk us through it, because like I said, most people are having to do another print run when they get a big order like this. And you're basically saying to them, well, do your print run with us and we'll help you get it out the door on time and in the best possible way.
Absolutely. So what we do is most people carry low inventory, which makes sense. They don't want to prepay for a lot of cards, not knowing whether the order's coming. So when they get one that's, again, 500, 1,000, 4,000, whatever that quantity may be, whatever the print method, they then come to us and we can print the job, sleeve it, package it, UPC barcode it again, and get it out to Paper Source in time. It's something we do very regularly, and our bindery guys have it down pat. They have it, you know, the packaging side of it, they do a great job at it.
I feel like you take a lot of the guesswork out of this thing. I mean, somebody getting a Paper Source order, it's a very exciting thing, but it's also nerve-wracking because, you know, the details are very specific, especially for the first time they do it.
Super specific. And do you have all the packing supplies? I mean, things as basic as packing supplies. Do you have all the boxes, the right sizes, the right packing material to go inside? I actually don't know what that is, but everybody here, the team does, our production manager, knows specifically how that's supposed to be and what those requirements are.
Yeah. It's definitely nice that there's somebody like you out there that can help to make that process easier for especially the people that are doing first-time orders. But you actually work with a lot, correct me if I'm wrong, you work with a lot of people that have recurring orders with places like Paper Source, and you just handle those print jobs and shipments, right?
Well, sort of. We basically, what we're doing with a warehouse fulfillment is that, they send in, typically via Shopify or typically via email, these regular occurring orders, whatever they may be. So we don't have anything preset where we know it's shipping ahead of time, but they will be sending in, you know, and you can see people's best sellers very clearly, what cards are moving, and see 500, 1,000, and again, the bigger orders of specific cards going.
Totally.
Yeah. And it does make it, in our opinion, it makes it easy. It allows you time to go market your business, create new products for your business, and sell more products in total, while we worry about all the, you know, the other work and get it off your back. So you're not up till midnight or 1 a.m. sleeving cards the night before it's got to go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. I've been there. I've totally been there.
And a lot of people have to be there in the beginning, to be fair. I mean, it's not for everybody, and it's not for every order in many cases. So.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, some of these growing pains that we talk about, and we obviously, I want this podcast to be sharing strategies to alleviate these pain points.
Yes.
But at the same time, sometimes we got to walk the walk to experience what's best for our company and to know whether or not it makes sense to invest in somebody like you to help with that.
Typically, people they don't see the value in it, I guess is the best word, until they start doing it themselves, and then they realize the time it consumes. It's the same as when people are printing for themselves. It's amazing that they can learn these trades and they can do it, but at some point, it does cross over and start to consume their time rather than allow them to grow the business.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I will never forget I think it was 2010, when I found my first short-run digital printer I felt like the world opened up to me in terms of what I was able to do, because I wasn't having to invest in 250 pieces offset, you know, and and hope that they came out the way I wanted them to.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, absolutely. I don't know. For starting younger businesses, it's definitely helpful. So what are your favorite types of projects to print these days?
Well, I mean, greeting cards, letterpress, and foil are still some of my favorite. And that's, I do get on press still every once in a while. And I was just on press last week doing some art prints, which was fun. But I would say right now, some of the more kind of out there journals with some different packaging and binding options, adding little things like belly bands around them, which kind of sounds weird, but I just love the process of seeing how it comes together and gets completed. So stuff like that, that's using more than one technique, not just one print method.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Well, and they're unique products, right? Yeah. It's shifting things up a little bit.
Yeah.
What are some things that people should figure out before they reach out to a printer? Like, thinking in my head about like the specs that you want to have ready so that somebody can accurately give you a quote for whatever you're trying to print.
Yeah. So, you know, specs are very important to make sure we're talking apples to apples to each other. We've many times we'll get into a job and, you know, that we're talking different languages as far as the type of paper and things like that. So we have on our website, and I'm sure many others do too, a kind of a process to walk through of ask you some of these questions. But we also welcome to call and do it via email to find out type of paper. You know, is it coated? Is it uncoated? Is it cotton? What colors you're looking for? What print method? There's a lot of confusion on language of print methods. So I want flat printing. Okay, well, you know, digital and offset are both technically flat, you know, printing. Mm-hmm. Or I want, somebody said the other day, I want an emboss. And when I saw the sample, it was letterpress printed. So it's working on getting that. And we do that really well with samples. So we'll send you out samples and have them labeled and say, these are the techniques we offer. And it kind of clears that up as to what you're looking
for. Yeah, I'm a very visual person too. And I love the samples that you bring to paper camp because well, everyone loves them because we're able to see your work up close. And also it helps to demystify the different print techniques and what's available. And in some ways it opens up our eyes to, oh my gosh, anything is possible. Look at all the things that Ronnie and these guys at DePrance can do. So
yeah, there's a lot of cool projects that we can send out to people to, you know, again, we did sock belly bands, like a sock wrap, you know, for that. So you can take a belly band that's on a notebook and you can apply a similar style to something else like socks. So
yeah,
kind of cool.
Or even like the business card size stuff. Those could be hang tags for clothes or, you know, even just little lunchbox notes of their own.
Yeah.
So
we did some really cool enamel pin backers, which is kind of something I hadn't paid attention to, but somebody came
and we did
a custom, a full color print plus die cut. And then since then we've done some foil stamps, some embossed ones. So there's some cool techniques to get people to look, pay attention to what you're selling and get their attention.
Yeah, that's actually been a hot topic in our alumni forum recently about the backers for pins, because more and more people are doing the pins and, you know, what size should they be and all of this. Yeah. It's been really interesting to see that develop as, you know, a more widespread product. What are some common mistakes that you see people making when they're specifically submitting their art files to you guys?
You know, so submitting art files, the most common is missing bleed. So meaning the area that the ink would flow off the edge of your sheet or the edge of the item that you're producing. You know, 1/8 of an inch is a pretty common industry standard. Everybody requires that. Another one is understanding what a Pantone color is versus CMYK. That's actually probably the most common conversation is walking people through what is CMYK versus a Pantone and what is the benefit of one or the other.
Do you mind sharing that with us right now for anyone listening that doesn't know what that is?
Absolutely. So there's benefits to both. Pantone colors tend to produce rich color because it's a single color that's making that. They can be less expensive if you're doing one color, two color cards, whereas CMYK, it allows much more flexibility on one press sheet to run 10 or, you know, bunch of different designs at a time. And it allows you different color gamuts, but they're not as bright or poppy a colors as a Pantone color would be. Typically with letterpress, everybody's using Pantones or black. And with offset, most people are using CMYK, although we do have a few people that have used Pantone colors really well. And you can kind of save some money and create a really unique look.
You do a very good job of walking your clients through that process too. If you see something that's not quite right in the art files or just in the specs that they're asking for, I've seen it firsthand from things you've coached me on, as well as things you've coached our alumni on. of like, hey, have you thought about, you know, ganging it up this way or using these colors or changing this? And I really appreciate that about you. I find that you're not just a printer. You're not just taking the jobs as they come and, you know, pushing them out. You're trying to make sure that you're maximizing, you know, the time and the money and the effort and energy that everyone's putting forth to create the best possible product. I know timing is sometimes an issue too. People have unrealistic expectations with how long things should take or what the turnaround should be. What are your thoughts there? And what's kind of, what do you want to educate people there about?
I mean, time frames can be as fast as a day or 2 days and as long as a month or more, depending on the project and lots of variables. So it's very difficult sometimes to answer a generic question of timing, you know, oh, how long will this greeting card take? Because most people, again, if you're maximizing what you're doing, you're not ordering one greeting card, you're ordering 10 designs, 50 designs and doing that. So the biggest challenge that we see, we saw some of it with the stationery show, is that people will come in and they'll have a big, you know, project, first time production. Maybe it's a low quantity, but there's a lot of stuff there. And trying to get enough time to proof it, make sure they've given us files that are ready to print, that are going to look good, look as they intend, and then produce them in time. You know, the first time we produce or make anything, we like an extra day or two to make sure we're double checking. Is this producing as they intend? Or do we have time to send them a hard copy proof for them to actually, you know, see it in person? So those are all things to consider. When you're dealing then with a project like a journal, something that's foil stamping or die cutting, you have to continue to add those days to it. We had somebody thinking they were, you know, looking for journals in a couple of weeks. And in reality, they're going to take 3 to 4, depending on what it is. Certain ones, if we've done them before, can be repeated in a couple, but anything less than that is very difficult.
I was going to, you mentioned hard copy proofs. I assume that's something you recommend everyone do, get a hard copy proof just to make sure before you do the whole run that you like it. But most people take you up on that, right? Like they actually pay for the proofs and stuff?
Not always. So we don't 100% of the time recommend it, because again, with letterpress and foil stamping, things like that, you can't really hard copy proof it without doing
the die.
When it comes to digital, we recommend it for most people because it's easy. You can just literally take your file. We can set it up for our print process, hit print and send them out to you. When it comes to offset, a little bit more challenging, but right now most people don't actually request a hard copy proof. And I think some of it is timing, because it takes a day or two to get to you. It takes some time to come back and they think they need the job a little faster than that. But those who do ask for the hard copy proof, most of the time it gives us a window into what are they actually expecting. So then they say, hey, I really don't like the way this design looks. I can then quickly say, well, here's a suggestion. Change that artwork, send it back to me, and we'll redo another proof for you. And then we can start tweaking what it will look like.
Do you find that most people are already behind schedule when they come to you with their print jobs?
Many times, yes. Many times. There. To be fair, there are many who are ahead of schedule and provide us plenty of time. But many are like all of us. They're rushing. They're trying to get things done because they have either customers or they have their own business they're trying to grow, and so they just get behind on it. It's not uncommon.
Well, and listening to you talk, I think knowing myself and knowing my audience, I think we love the creative process. You know, we love the development process, and sometimes we let that hold us back from actually.
Yeah, I agree.
Like get into the production process, but there, and in certain instances, there are hard deadlines. Yes. You know, like you talked about, somebody's heading to a show.
Has to be done. Yeah, it has to be.
Right.
And we try and work with everyone as best we can. If there is something like the National Stationery Show, we're not going to get you what you need in 99.9% of the cases, unless there's some crazy thing. But if it's just, I want it on a Friday and we're pushing it and there's not, you know, then we ask for, hey, we really do need those extra couple of days to make sure you get it right. Because as you're saying, they may have spent days, weeks, or months creating this thing. And then to rush the production of it could make it not as exciting or not as good looking as they would like it to be.
Yeah, that's like, that's where it really comes to life.
Yeah.
So you want to do it right.
Yeah. And translating from the computer screen to any product, not just paper, cloth, you know, anything, there's a transition between those two. There's no such thing as knowing what it will look like on paper from the computer screen. It's not
totally
there. Yeah.
So you bring up an interesting point. What other types of materials are you guys printing on other than paper? Are you doing some?
So we're doing a fair amount of things on vinyl, which are mostly stickers. We do some polyester the best term, I guess, would be paper, but it's polyester. It's compressed polyester, which is tear resistant, water resistant. It foil stamps and die cuts amazing. Doing it a lot for hotels, but I do see some product applications for it too that people could use.
What kind of end product are they doing on that type of material?
They're doing the like door hangers. They're doing menus because they can be wiped off. They're doing door hangers are interesting because that could apply over to some sort of a hang tag idea or something of that nature. We even did a cookbook with one on a cover, so you could wipe the cover off afterwards. So that was kind of cool.
That's smart.
The cover won't go bad. You don't have to laminate it. So, and it will digitally print in full color, foil stamp, and die cut.
That is so cool.
Yeah. Well, we're also doing a little bit of canvas, and then we still do a fair amount of cotton too.
Yeah. What kind of requests are you getting? Like, what kind of products are you getting a ton of inquiries about right now?
Well, greeting cards, always the bulk. We're getting a lot for hang tags, a lot for art prints. The journals and notebooks, I would say, are probably next. And then still wrapping paper. Wrapping paper always kind of trickles around there. And people are, we've had a few people try the new, like a smaller size as test runs, like 12 by 18, some things like that, because they can do a very short run, very quick and test it, and then come back later on if they like it, order bigger or order a physically bigger size too.
So let's talk about gift wrap for a minute, because I feel like that has been a really difficult product for many people to create.
Yep.
You know, some printers do it in rolls, some printers do it in sheets.
Yep.
A lot of printers require a very high volume of print. You know, you have to print a high quantity to make the cost worthwhile. How are you running it for most people that are doing wrap these days?
So all sheeted. So it is sheeted. We don't do anything on a roll. Most of what we're running is 19 by 27, 20 by 28. It does require bigger quantities, you know, 500 to 1,000. 500 if it's one or two color, 1,000 if it's CMYK. But the new one that I think is exciting is the digital size, the 12 by 18 or the 14 by 20 to do it in, it's all CMYK because it's digital, but to do that smaller size, they can run, we just did one, we did 10 a piece, you know, so just a tiny run and it worked really well.
Huh. Yeah. That's interesting. That makes a lot more sense though, that you've got the flexibility with the digital.
People are still not in love with the size, and we know that, but we've seen some stuff in Europe that people are using 11, 17, 12 by 18. And so we're just going to keep telling people about it. And a few people are using it. And I think it'll get better.
Well, and if they use it to test the market and it goes well, then great.
Yeah.
If they use it to test the market and it doesn't, well, they shift and try something new.
Exactly. And then you're not spending the money to buy 500 sheets that, you know, that again, the, Where does that get stored? You know, you have 500, 1,000 sheets of wrap. That's a pretty good size pallet or at least a pack. So,
yeah, no, I know that's another thing our community is constantly talking about of storage and storage and management, and wrap is a wrap's a tough one too. What are some cost cutting or cost saving tips that you can offer people, or just generally ways to maximize their print runs?
Yeah. So number one, ask us first, but when you're submitting stuff, if you turn in 17 designs, I'm going to tell you to make it 18 or to make it 16 because we run in even numbers on our offset. Or if it's digital, we're going to tell you to do it in odd numbers. We get a lot of people that will order and there's a hole, you know? And so unfortunately, I don't want to say they get it for free, but it's almost free. If they add that other item, they're getting it for free basically on there.
Right. They're already prepaying for it.
They're already paying for the paper and the time. So that would be number one. Number two is paper. Is paper adds up to a lot of money in this process. And so if you're in love with a high-end paper, it's going to make the job more. So we use a lot of French. People love French paper. It's very affordable. We also use a lot of Mohawk. That's more affordable. And then we still do the higher-end stuff with Savoy and Lettre and things like that. But I would say French paper, by switching that has been a massive savings for people, as well as then we get into the design. So again, is it CMYK or is it Pantone? And then when you're adding things like foil or embossing, physical size of that matters a lot. So are you going to put foil all over the front of the card, or are you just going to do a little accent? And if we can work together and try and maximize it, we can save a lot of money on die cost and foil.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people that think, I'll just add foil or I'll just, you know, whatever it is. And they don't realize the process that it takes to actually make that happen. Yeah. So those were really great tips.
And just another point on that is we've done a pretty good job between our offset press and our digital and our foil stamping, where we now have a really good process down where we can do multiple designs at a time, which keeps the cost kind of more in control. But again, with that, like offset, quantity matters. So if you're ordering 100 of each card, you know, the setup of that foil is still a traditional setup. It's not inexpensive. So ordering 500 right. or 1,000 of a design is a much better way to go. The other thing we've seen is people being very creative and using the same die on multiple projects. So maybe it's two greeting cards and one's a boy and one's a girl card, and they can use a wording on it. Or maybe it's creating a journal and a greeting card that share a die. Or, you know, we've seen mm-hmm. all those kinds of things, or another product. So,
or even using the same die on different papers.
Yes.
So one's a colored paper and one's a white paper. Whatever.
Absolutely.
That might be. Yeah.
Absolutely. So you're saving the die cost. And if it's already set up, you're saving then on the run cost too, because we can just double it up and do it back to back.
Yeah. I like that. So we've talked a lot about greeting cards and products for the stationery world. Yep. We do have a lot of other product makers that listen to this podcast. We even have a lot of service providers yep. that listen to this podcast. You've talked about things like catalogs and packaging options that they can do. What other kind of products are you doing for people outside of the stationery world that our audience might be interested
well, the,
in?
Well, the catalogs, again, are a big one. We still do a lot of direct mail. Direct mail works. It's tactile. It's in people's, you know, it's in your face. It's typically you're going to keep it long term, so you may not need something today, but later on. So we still recommend, mm-hmm. you know, pre and post show mailers if it's for a show or for a small business that's trying to grow. You know, packaging items as far as bags or boxes, we help create different things there. The hang tags, again, a lot of product labels. So we do a lot of beer and wine labels. We do a lot of, you know, soap or candles is actually another big one that we've done over the years, boxes and the labels.
Cool.
So just a lot, anything kind of involved in a typically a manufacturing or a small business, we've produced the items for that business at some point or another.
I will also say that one of the things I love about you, Ronnie, is that I can call you with like a wild, crazy idea and be like, what do you think about this? Like, how could we make this happen? Yeah. And you get excited about it as if it were your own product. And you do try to really find a way to make it happen in a budget that I can afford or a timeline I need or whatever it is. And I really admire that about you, because I've seen you try to bend over backwards to help people make their dreams come true. And obviously you have your own business yeah. to run and you can't make everyone's dreams come true, but you really do care about your clients and you do try to make, you know, whatever it is that you can, you try to make it work
yeah.
for them.
No, absolutely. We will, if it's something, you know, we talk about budget early. So, you know, if you're coming in and you want this very high end, what we would describe as a high end piece, we want to ask, you know, what's the intended budget for that? So we can try and develop it within that, you know, because yeah. it doesn't do me any good to get crazy with special processes or things like that when maybe your budget only allows for digital and something else. And that's fine.
Right.
So we can develop it either way. But that's the fun part. You know, we are a commercial printer. We do all the daily letterhead, envelopes, you know, all those things, forms, and they're great. We love working with those customers too. But it is more fun for me to be creative and develop something. And then when the company grows, and I know we had a part of developing that piece, that's exciting. That's fun for us. That's what we want to do.
I love it. I feel the same way. So what's next for DeFrance? What do you guys have coming up the rest of this year?
Well, I mean, this is our 125th year. I would love to say we have lots of plans going on, but we've been so busy, fortunately, that we haven't had time to do what we wanted.
Busy's good.
But, you know, the rest of the year is to keep focusing on our niches, you know, which is wholesale stationery. We do a lot of stuff with breweries. Again, that's, you know, bottleneckers, which is the little tag on top and all those different things like that, coasters, and as well as our local business community. So we do a lot of marketing, a lot of nonprofit work and things like that locally. So just keep focusing on those groups and helping them as much as we can.
Awesome. If people want to reach out to you for a quote or to learn more about, you know, all the things that you guys offer, the products and services you can help them create, where should they find you online and where can they follow you on social media too?
Absolutely. So DeFranceprinting.com is the website. They can email me at Ronnie, R-O-N-N-I-E, at DeFranceprinting.com. And then our social handles are at DeFranceprint. And we're going to be the most on Instagram and Facebook. That's where we seem to do the best if people want to interact with us.
Yeah, I enjoy hanging out with you there too. Well, yeah. We will be sure to include all those details in our show notes for anyone interested. And Ronnie, thank you so much for taking the time today to educate us and tell us more about your services and products. You're doing a lot to help our stationery industry, and you're also a huge support to our Trade Show Bootcamp community. So I appreciate you.
Cool. And thank you for having me. This was fun.
I enjoyed it too.
Hey friends, are you preparing for trade show season and having a tough time dealing with all the details? Well, I have a new free on-demand workshop that will help you maximize your trade show investment and keep wholesale orders coming in long after your trade show ends. If you're interested in joining me for this free masterclass, head on over to theboothblueprint.com to sign up. Again, that's theboothblueprint.com. I look forward to having you. Proof to Product is brought to you by Trade Show Bootcamp and hosted by me, Katie Hunt. Since 2011, TSBC has worked with hundreds of product-based businesses to help them uplevel, scale, and build profitable, sustainable companies. You can find our show notes and additional resources at prooftoproduct.com. And if you like what you heard today, please head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a 5-star review and subscribe. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode.